You're listening to The Rabbit Hole with Eric Ramos, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Rabbit Hole podcast, everyone. I am your host, Eric Ramos. Welcome to episode 4. Initially, we were going to cover various topics, the Lakers, combat sports, and the paranormal. And because of limited time, we're just going to really focus on the paranormal and other fringe topics as they pop up on my radar. Because of popular demand, we have our guest from a few shows back. Her name is Ruth Seance, and she has quite a few interesting experiences in the paranormal. So I had some direct messages to bring her back on, so we're bringing her back, and I want to welcome our guest, Ruth Seance. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's good to see you too.
Yeah, so last time we had you on, we had some pretty interesting topics that came up, and I wanted to dive deeper into those things, and there was some pretty interesting phenomenon that you experienced.
Yes.
So if you want to walk us back from the beginning for some of the watchers and viewers that may not have saw the other episode where we had you on, if you can give us a brief little history of your background regarding the paranormal and some of your experiences with your bloodline and some of the things that you were exposed to. If you can bring us up to speed on that, we're all ears.
No, of course. Just a quick rundown of what we went over last time is just basically, you know, getting older to the age where I am now and finding out that your mom was going to bring you as an infant, you know, just being born, like maybe 3 months in. And from my aunt teaching me Santeria and getting raised as a pagan and as a Wiccan, as a solitary witch, and learning everything I had to learn throughout high school, all the experiences I had with, you know, the out-of-body experience with the pressure when you have, I forgot what it was called, but when you have the pressure when you can't sleep, the sleep paralysis.
Oh, the sleep paralysis.
Yes, I forgot for a minute. And then just everything that I've gone through with even having friends in the cold and other people, just a different mentality of where I am now, but mainly just the experience prior is something that it's the past, and I could definitely talk about it and give you more insights on anything that I didn't cover last time. Mm-hmm.
Well, you said your mom and your aunt was training you since you were an infant?
No, I said my mom tried to burn me when I was an infant.
Oh, you said they tried to. I thought you said train. Got it. So no. You said your mom tried to burn you.
Yes.
Tell us more about that.
I'm sorry, I just have a little, it's my light. Okay. Well, when I asked her, because I finally had the courage to ask her maybe about 3 years ago, I was around 33 years old, and I just told her, Mom, like, I don't have these dreams, I don't have these gifts for no reason. There's something that you're not telling me. I know my great-grandmother practiced some stuff. I understand that. I understand the lineage, I told her. But there's something you're not telling me that I have as a gift. I told her I could feel the power. I could feel different. What am I missing? And she just told me, well, I don't know. The only thing I haven't been honest with you is that when I had you, I got into this trance where I was told to make sure to go burn you with hot water, with boiling water. And I said, okay. And then what happened? She says, well, when I was on my way to go burn you with hot water, I had filled up the tub. Three Christians stopped me, and then they took you away from me for like 3 months, and I couldn't get you back until I was fine.
Which, how old were you when this happened?
I was an infant.
Like 2, 1?
She had just brought me here. She was pregnant, so I was definitely an infant.
Oh, so you were a newborn.
Yes.
Wow.
She never told me that story until I told her to dive deeper into what's different about me. Why do I have to get all these gifts? Mm-hmm. It's a gift and a course and a curse, right? But
now, when you say, so you said gifts, dreams, obviously experiences that aren't normally talked about that you were experiencing that gave you the idea that something about you is different. When did you start having those experiences?
The youngest I remember was 9. Probably before that, but I can't go back in my life. I don't remember 3 years old, 4, 5, 6, not even 7 or 8. I just remember 9 for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I remember going back to, I would be the kid that would sleep in the town bunk bed, and I had a window, and I would always sit down and talk to somebody. And I remember that. My mom told me that she'd see me, but she just didn't bother. She thought I was, like, sleep-talking or something. But I remember I would sit down and actually enjoy talking to this being. I don't know who I was talking to, but I still clearly in my mind remember that person. Like, I don't, it was nobody, but I remember just having an actual conversation and laughing and whatnot. That I have it so clear in my head, and I'm like, who the hell is that? Like, now that I'm older, you're like, who was I really talking to?
So it was like, as far as you were concerned, it was a real conversation.
Yes, it was no house sleep talking, because I will always, as well, when we were play hide and go seek with my neighbors, I will see some little kid all the time, and he would run through the wall. And back then, it didn't hit in my head that it was probably like a leprechaun kind of thing, because he wasn't cute. Now that I know, it was just something that was small and like the size of my brother. That's what I remember. But now that I go back and I remember going through the wall, or, you know, somebody throwing me stones from the floor. Like, my mom thought I was having, like, she just told me, go to sleep, you're just scared. But I was scared because I had somebody sitting in the middle of my floor throwing me, like, little pebbles. I was sleeping. And that's kind of creepy, like, now that you think about it.
And this was all when you were 9?
Yeah.
And the pebbles would land, like, on your bed, and you can touch them, and they were tangible?
Yes.
And if your mom came in, you could say, you see those stones there, Mom? Who, they were throwing these at me, and she would be able to see them and pick them up in her hand herself?
If she wanted to, but she ignored me, like every other mom that thinks that kid is having a nightmare, and told me just go to sleep.
Wow.
But there is something that my neighbors would never forget. My neighbors were all playing hide and go seek, and we all see my brother like go through the wall. We thought we were going crazy. And when we went to tell our parents, my brother was asleep. They would never forget that.
So they saw something that
resembled,
in their estimation, it was your brother, but you were able to verify later your brother's asleep. So they saw something that appeared to be your brother.
Correct.
And it just ran through the wall.
Yes.
And this is when you were 9?
This is when I was younger. Yes.
And the neighbors saw it.
Yes. I have 2 neighbors that seen it.
And so how did that conversation come about? They came, pounded on your door, or how did that happen?
We just went to our parents and we talked to them about it. But there was only one guy that believed us. And he ended up cleaning the whole building because he was like an African male that does like cleansings. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that back then. But
like a medicine man or witch doctor or something like that.
Yeah, like a medicine man, basically. He never... But he came out of his room and he cleaned the whole thing, and it was like a done deal. But back then I didn't even know what that was. But he used to wear a lot of white, so now I know what it is. Now I understand. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I know there's like a topic of aliens out there, and a lot of people don't believe it. But I even believe that it was in those years. It was in the 1990s when there was an UFO that at least passed through LA. I may be wrong, guys, but I'm going back to the time I was living there. So if I was 9, I'm going to subtract the years. Let me see. So we're in 2024 minus... Wait, hold on. So I am 35.
I hear the calculator.
Yeah, I'm 35. And then...
You're over there crunching numbers.
I'm 35 now, but I was 9, so I just gotta subtract what?
So 10 That'll bring you to 25.
25 years? So 2024 minus.
And then another
25.
10 years, that'll bring you to 50.
Yeah, so it was in the 1990s. I just wanted to make sure I was right. I'm sorry, Eric. I just have this thing that I want to make sure I'm right. I believe I seen something like a UFO. Back then, I didn't know what a UFO was, but I remember seeing like a round object. It looked like a plate, a metal, and it had lights. And I seen like two beings coming out of it, and I got really scared. But I never thought in my whole life, they just look like taller human beings, skinnier.
Like Peter Pan?
Not just skinnier beings. They didn't have the big head or nothing. They just look like skinnier beings. I didn't know what it was back then, but now I understand aliens. I really think that they've been here since forever, to be honest with you. It's something that it's probably not your topic, but.
Well, that's I mean, crazy that, well, it's not uncommon that whenever a person has experienced some paranormal phenomenon, for there to be some aliens, extraterrestrials, or UFOs nearby or in the vicinity. So there seems to be some type of connection between the two. What it is, I still don't know exactly, and not because it's beyond our ability to figure out, but it's just because, for whatever reason, some known, some unknown reasons, the scientific community are somewhat reluctant to utilize all of their resources, which would be great, to examine this phenomenon so we can clarify as much as possible so that whatever else we're trying to guess, it's not just all guesswork.
Right.
But based on some of the reports I've heard about paranormal phenomenon, it's common for there to be some type of UFO or extraterrestrial phenomenon come up in the vicinity
that they observe. So,
wow, so that's interesting too. I wasn't expecting that either.
No, I know. I've never told a soul, but I felt like I could actually speak about it here. The weirdest things that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I asked myself, what is it about that area that was different? Because that's where I also was told to do like a little altar for Christ, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know about Christ at all back then. I was told to get a leaf, you know, to put something in the corner and to pray. And it's something that it doesn't bother me, but it kind of bothers me because it's like, who was influencing my ear or who was influencing me to do the things? Like, who was telling me this? I'm never going to have answers to that. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the future, but I just don't know the answers, you know?
Well, your position on that is valid. I know for me, there's a lot of unknown variables when it comes to this phenomenon. There's a lot we can verify through personal experience or cross-referencing. And then there's a lot of unknowns. So if we were to look at all this information, the phenomenon as a whole, aliens, UFOs, the paranormal, and create a pie chart, right?
Right.
Like a presentation, a business presentation, and then on the pie chart, we can divide things that we can verify. And we had a slice of all the phenomenon that can be verified and researched empirically. And then we had another slice of the pie, a phenomenon that we could not verify or research scientifically. There's a large gap of a phenomenon that for various reasons we don't have the resources to verify and validate and analyze. So because of that, we're forced to do a lot of guesswork. And since we're forced to do a lot of guesswork, there's no reason for anyone in the, for lack of a better term, in this community, if that's the community of people who are interested in the paranormal and fringe topics, there's no reason for anyone to be dogmatic and draw any definitive conclusions, because we don't have all the data.
Right.
There's still a lot of data missing. And since there's so much unknown variables that we can't verify, the wisest course of action is just to keep an open mind and get reports from various people and compile a database of anecdotal evidence or testimonies that we had from various people and use that as a point of reference if we ever find ourselves in a scenario. And then we can reference those people's experience that they have as a reference point for us to try to navigate whatever we're encountering at that moment. That's all we have for now. That's one of the purposes of this podcast here. So yeah, that's interesting. So you said that they were training you since you were an infant. When did the training stop?
I let go, like the training as in what they trained me to do, or when did I stop learning?
Yeah, so that second part is an interesting topic I want to touch on as well. But I'm specifically referring to, you said your aunt stopped, yes, was training you since you were an infant. So yes, that training, I'm assuming, entails some specific practices. Yeah. How long was that period where you were going through that phase with your aunt? Or your mom, whoever else was involved in that?
So probably 15, the first 15 years of my life.
Wow. So you're an adept.
I'm a what?
You're an adept in those things. A as in Apple, D as in David, E as in Edward, P as in Paul, T as in Tom. You know, because sometimes, you know, a D could sound like a B. Yeah, adept.
Yeah, I'm very connected and I am very knowledgeable and I could read things that other people can read before it even happens as well.
Wow, that's a long time. So 15 years. And that whole time you were training, was it just your mom or your aunt, or did other people step in there to assist as well?
My mom, my aunt, my cousin.
So it was like cousin. So like three people total?
Yes.
And what are some of the, if you could create a PowerPoint presentation of bullet points of the things you learned during that training that you felt helped you throughout your life and gave you an edge, what would those things be?
Definitely cleansing your space before you leave, when you come back. You get guided by the tarot, so the tarot helped a lot because it's a daily use. It's like basically spirit connecting with you and telling you what to do, mm-hmm, for the day. If you had questions and doubts, also the spirit would help you. The white table, we will use it probably weekly. That was to connect with the spirit. And our ancestors basically see what we needed to talk to them. Other than that, everything else you showed me was just work, how to work anything, like a promotion, getting out of a job, letting somebody go, if somebody was bad, the needy, greedy things that I've never actually done in my life because I just didn't have the courage to do them. It doesn't mean I don't have knowledge of how to do them, if it makes any sense.
So spells.
Whatever she did dark. And I call it dark because she did tell me one thing. She did tell me, Ruth, for every work that I do, I'm just letting you know, I will be gone soon because for every work that we do, we get in our witch years, they take away 7 years. So you're going to die younger. So you have to be prepared for whoever you're doing it for. You're taking some out of your life to give to this person their desire. She taught me that was one thing she taught me. The second thing she told me is that you can never, ever, ever, you can do love hacks, but you can never, ever in your life have somebody fall in love with you or have somebody fall in love with that person that wants that work done. So remember, love spells are just, it's self-love. And it's, yes, seducing love as well. But you would never have an actual, kind of like God, you know, it has to be a will. Mm-hmm. So she taught me that. And when I learned that, I just kept it in mind.
So she said you can never do love spells.
They won't work. They work to a certain degree, but you can't force love. It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, it makes sense logically. Like, you can't force someone to love you. Either the chemistry is there.
Because I don't know the dark world, you know?
Here's my feedback on it. So it seems like you can't force someone to love you because it has to be organic. It's something inside, right? and either it's there or it's not. Now, if they're able to do something, to do some kind of workaround where they can cause this person to behave in a manner where it seems outwardly that they love this person, okay, it might go by for some time, but it's still not the legitimate organic love. And since it's not, that tells me it must only going to be temporary. So what you're saying kind of like validates my intuition regarding love spells. But when you were saying earlier, she said, for every spell you do, you lose 7 years. So when she said the spell, does she differentiate what kind of spells that you do? Or she just said any kind of spell that you do for someone, it's going to cost you 7 years of your life? Or is there a differentiation of what kind of spells are done?
Yes. If you're saving somebody's life, if you're giving somebody a kid, like allowing them to get fraternity, and giving somebody like work. So those were like the major three ones, but the rest, the regular spells, they're just going to come back tenfold, right? Mm-hmm. It's nothing that's going to be bad. Whether you put bad or good, it's going to come back. But the ones that are going to take away from you were like major work, like work done. Like you have to like petition, do like a cut a rooster, do whatever you have to do for this person mm-hmm. to succeed in whatever it is that they're asking. That's the actual work, and that's what she was known for. My whole life, people always came to our house. I never understood why. Now I do. She would just do work for them. Mm-hmm. And she would tell us about it, but we didn't know because we were kids. We would just take that information in. But as you grow, you remember. Then now you're like, oh, this is what Ruda was for. Or this is why she cut the lemon in a cross in the corner. Certain things like that, that you start as you grow up, you learn. Mm-hmm. And that's what she taught.
Got it. So basically, she was just training you to be her successor.
You can say because
like her replacement. So when she leaves, now she's just referring you the business. Well, go to my daughter now. I'm about to retire soon. You know, I've been keeping track of my years. I'm on my way out. So start getting acquainted with my daughter because she's going to be the one helping you guys going forward, so to speak, right? Something like that.
Her daughter is someone that's powerful.
Your aunt? Your aunt's daughter? Whose daughter?
Yes. Yeah, my cousin. So me and my cousin, we are an unstoppable force, but we both chose to get away from it. But we still have some gifts that, you know, you can't get them. You can get rid of them. You can try. Me and my cousin, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but whenever me and my cousin would go together to what you call Botanica in Spanish, which is a witch store, mm-hmm. they will always turn us away. They would tell us that we have too many with us, that we have to leave. Twice.
So you would walk into the store to get your crystals, your roots, your sage, and they would just turn you away?
Yes.
Wow, that's crazy. You have a unique experience, my friend. This is very uncommon. This is probably...
It is. My whole family, they've dealt with my stuff because they also felt it and seen it. And unfortunately, my mom's house is still, like I said, it still gets cold and they still have problems. You know, my sister told me she couldn't sleep. Like last Saturday, she stayed by herself. And I was just over her house and I was just talking to her. I was like, why not? Why can't you sleep? She's like, well, they turned the light on me. I was like, well, that's fine. Just want to go away. And she's just like, you're saying it's so calm. Like, it's okay. I'm like, because it is. They're just trying to get your attention. Just tell them this is not their house. They need to leave. Simple. You know?
Right. So the lights were coming on by herself in her room and she was getting spooked?
Yeah, because she was by herself in the house.
Well, if there's anyone that's experiencing this similar phenomenon in their house, I could share this. Don't show any fear because they feed off of negative emotions. Yes. So fear, anger, any of the lower vibrational emotions, just don't give in to it. Now, it might sound easy, right? You hear me? Oh, don't give in. Okay, yeah, it sounds easy. If it's difficult, then go train and practice so that when you're in that scenario, it's not complicated for you. So during the day, if you know when you come home at night, there's a high probability that you're going to get harassed. Well, during the day and in the morning, practice meditating, concentration. I know for me, I read the Bible, so I use scriptures. Scriptures give me strength. If you want a shortcut, go to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a good shortcut. You could play the book of Psalms on your phone when you go to sleep. Those verses are powerful. They're so powerful that a lot of people who don't believe in God still use those verses. Yes. So imagine if I hate a certain product. Imagine if I work for Coca-Cola, but I hate Pepsi. But every time I have a barbecue, everyone comes over and they say I'm using Pepsi. Whatever it has, it must be good because I hate them so much and they're a competitor and I'm still using it. There must be something good there, right? So all of these anti-believers who hate God, they hate Yeshua, they hate the Bible. Okay, well, they're still using the book of Psalms. So there must be something there to it. So when you were talking about your gifts, I wanted to read this verse in the Bible for anyone that may have had a similar experience to you. And maybe this verse may help give some more clarity. Let me check the time. Okay, yeah, we're still good on time. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is in the Bible. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says that Jesus is accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each one is given the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit for everyone's common good. For to one person is given the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another one, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. Some people call this discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Various kinds of tongues is like if I just somehow just arbitrarily started speaking Chinese or Mandarin and no one ever taught me, right? Or let's say I'm praying and someone lays hands on me and then I start speaking in Chinese. That's a supernatural manifestation of tongues. Now, if I learned the language, it's a different story. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the supernatural manifestation of tongues. And then it says, into another, various kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. So someone might arbitrarily start speaking another language, and then someone else can understand it without any training. Because the Holy Spirit moved on them and gave them that power at that time. It's not something you could just say, oh, well, I'm going to just will myself to be able to interpret it. That's not how that gift works, right? So the Holy Spirit will touch someone and then they can interpret something that someone else is saying. These are all supernatural, spiritual manifestations of God's power. And then it says, and all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, and he apportions to each one individually as he wills. So all of these gifts also exist outside of the body of Christ, right? So when it says the gift of prophecy, that's someone interpreting something. So when you were doing your training with your auntie, under that lineage, there might come a time where you're able to see someone's future. Well, in the Bible, in Bible cosmology, Apostle Paul calls that the gift of prophecy. And then there might be someone in your lineage where they can see someone and they're like, oh, well, I see that you have this thing going on and you got some issue with the finances, or it looks like you have some cancerous thing growing in your stomach, right? And you see how they can see that? in the Bible, they call that discernment of spirits. So all the things that are supernatural or paranormal that people experience or talents that they have outside of the Bible, they also exist in the Bible. They're there also. But because for various reasons, they're not talked about in the Bible or in the church, we think those things don't exist and there's no power there. So right. when we see these powers manifested in other organizations and in other groups, we think, oh, well, that's the real deal. That's where the power is. And I'm glad that you were able to recognize that that's not really what it is. That whatever Satan does is the counterfeit. And what the Bible talks about is the real deal. Because Satan always copies and mimics what God does. So whatever other people are doing in these other covens, that's only an imitation. What's in the Bible is the real deal. And I'm glad that you were able to see that. So what was it that empowered you to make the jump from that long lineage of that to come out of that? I know that wasn't easy. That took a lot of courage. How did you do that? Because there might be other people that are in a similar situation and they feel it's not right, but they don't know how to get out.
I'm going to be straightforward with you to the point where a lot of people probably won't understand. But Satan did reveal, like, I had a dream where I see myself like a celebrity with all the lights and the flashes. And I remember him saying, this can be given to you. And I woke up and I'm like, okay, that didn't feel right. I let it go. It was just a dream, right? I said, okay. It's just like I was singing next to Beyonce. And for some reason, after I looked at the dream, I said, well, it makes sense why her, right? But years after that, I started feeling the power in my hands where they felt like,
electricity.
It's probably like 10 times of that. But what I felt in my home where I was practicing everything is like I started having pictures of, hey, maybe you have four daughters to have a covenant. Maybe you're going to run the biggest witch covenant ever. And then I started investigating my daughter's births, right? Mm-hmm. How they each have a different sign and a different sign that goes with the elements. Exactly how it's supposed to be for the star. And when I started feeling this power, it felt so powerful. Like I was even waking up from it, like in bed, like if I was like, I don't know, like a mummy or something. I don't know. Like it was just weird. And the idea that I started talking to my daughters about it, I said, well, maybe we have to start giving you guys a book of shadows. Like, what do you guys know? And knowing that even my smallest daughter knew exactly what I was talking about, it didn't scare me back then. But then I had like a moment where I was like, wait, you're going to have some power that is being given to you. So then your life is going to be shorter. You're going to encounter a lot of more demonic stuff. And I rejected it. I said, I don't want it. So what I did, I started thinking about everything that God does for me. Because since I was little, I felt like I was pulled back and forth. I said, well, I started thinking about all the bad stuff and all the work. And then I started thinking about all the good stuff and everything that has gone right in my life. And then I said, there's going to be a choice, Ruth, right? And I said, every time I'm trying to do good, something pulls me back. He finds a way. And I decided I'm going to let everything go. I'm not going to carry it with my family. And it's going to stop here. And for some odd reason, I decided to get a bag of a trash bag. And I threw all my cards, all my books, all my crystals, my pendulum, anything, which I'm not supposed to do because when you're a witch, you understand that you cannot give your possession to anybody else. You're supposed to burn it. But it was just too much to burn. So I just decided to throw in the trash and I put everything in the trash bag. And I remember it was two big, heavy trashes. And then I just looked at them and I told my kids to please go throw it away because I'm not going to do it. So my kids struggled to throw everything away in the trash. The only thing I kept was my law of attraction book, my dream book. And the interpretation of dreams is a book that I had when I was younger. So the only three positions I hold nothing else with me.
And how old were you when you did that, when you made that decision?
I was 23.
You were 23?
2 years ago, yeah.
Oh, this was recent.
Yes, I just let it go. Because I've been studying the Bible for a while. I've been with the Word of God. I've felt the Holy Spirit. I felt the good. And the good feels more good.
Yeah, you can. And, you can. Yeah.
I have helped a lot of people with my transformation. And I've seen a lot of people come out of their dark situations with, like, breakups and stuff like that. Because they see a single mom doing it. And I have to give the power is all God. It's God. It's not me. He has guided me since I was little. I remember having one dream specific, Eric, where I was painting like a church. And I was asking him, what do you want me to do? All I heard is read the Bible. Read the Bible. And my knowledge that comes from the Bible is way bigger than whatever I've been taught, whatever I've learned, whatever I've done. Whatever I've done in the past, whatever I've done to help others and learn and run a witch cult, whatever, when I was younger, has nothing fulfilling to knowing what the Holy Spirit is. I sleep in peace. There is no fear. And I cannot imagine a better life than that. And and for the people that don't understand what that means I don't have sleep paralysis. That means I don't have my brother flying from one room to the other room. It doesn't mean I'm levitating. It doesn't mean I'm having nightmares. If you want to imagine my life as a witch back then, all you can imagine is getting woken up by noises. It was like a shatter in my ears. Like I couldn't. It was like a radio station. It was like really, really bad where I had to like go like this to like not hear nothing. But it was just like a lot of chattering in different languages and everything. It's so weird. Mm-hmm. Everything that happened to me that didn't allow me to sleep for days. And I remember going to a priest, and the priest even rejected me. He said he couldn't help me, which I'm not saying I'm not Catholic for that reason. But that made me lose a little bit of faith in the Catholic Church, because I went begging for help because I couldn't go to sleep. Because as soon as I went to sleep, it was like the movie Insidious. A lot of people make fun of that movie. It's a regular scary movie. No, that shit is real. Excuse my language. That right there is exactly what I was living, a nightmare. Every single day I would shut my eyes. Well, I was caught up in this other world.
Well, to touch on that real quick, Jesus said, and they could look this up in Mark chapter 16. Jesus said, in my name they shall cast out devils.
Yes.
So, for anyone going through something similar, if you believe in Yeshua, you can cast out the demons yourself. There's no human mediator between God and man anymore. Jesus removed that. He's the mediator between God and man. And since he's in heaven now, he's at the right hand of the Father, and so he's there to make intercession for us in person. So, if you're a believer and you've accepted Yeshua as your Savior, you just pray to him directly, and he appeases and he petitions for you in heaven. These earthly figures down here, a lot of them are weak imitations anyway. Even if we were to go through that method, a lot of them are dabbling in who knows what. So whatever we say to them, it's already watered down to a great degree anyway. And then for them to ask God on our behalf, yeah, when Jesus came and died, assuming the scripture is correct, that process is no longer necessary. So for that whole denomination to come and implement that, that's false. That's a fallacy. Nowhere did Jesus say in the scripture that we have to ask someone else to petition for us. Nowhere was that explicitly stated or implied. So that's a false doctrine. There's nowhere in the scripture where they can show us in the New Testament where we have to come to another human and ask that human to ask God on our behalf. Now, interceding for someone is fine. You can intercede for others and pray for others. That's scriptural. That's in the Bible. But as far as trying to relay or rely on someone to take the place of Jesus, that's not in the scripture. So the sooner that people become aware of that, the better. You mentioned earlier, you said something about a white table. What is that?
Yeah, I'll touch base on that. I just want to piggyback on what you just said. You have to remember that you have to believe in Jesus wholeheartedly and with your heart and your mind, because you can't just call on his name and appear and everything's going to disappear. I've been to the position where I didn't have faith and I didn't have the love that I do now. And it was harder for my sleep paralysis or anything to get out of that state. And so I wholeheartedly believed and loved and understand who he was, is that everything disappears like just like vapor. It's gone. And if that helps you in any way, that's what's helped me the most. And I do want to touch, Eric, on something, too, that I don't know how well you know about. But I know that also I've worked very close with Archangel Michael. And he is also somebody else that is like Jesus, that when you're having those moments, he has also intervened a lot for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's his backup or who he is in heaven.
I've heard
he hasn't been in a lot of my bad.
I've heard experiences. I've heard something like that before. But to be, for me, my position on that topic is to be on the safe side. If I'm going to call on any name, it's going to be Yeshua.
Of course.
Or Jesus. I won't call on any other angels like Michael or Saint Paul. I won't call on any of them. Now, if I call on Jesus or Yeshua and Apostle Paul or Michael appears, I'm okay with that. You know, if he sends them, he's like, okay, well, I'm over here. But, clear, you know, he's omnipotent. He's omniscient. But, you know, there's a lot of unknown variables. So who am I to judge, right? So if he's like, oh, well, I need to send, you know, St. Paul over there. Or I'm going to send Archangel Michael. Or I'm going to send Archangel Gabriel to help Eric or Ruth in this moment. I'm not gonna, you know, fight it. But as far as calling on names, the scripture explicitly states that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved.
Yes.
So to protect ourselves from falling victim to idolatry, my position is I don't call on any other names other than Yeshua or Jesus. I'll study other texts, because I'm not dogmatic. I'm not afraid of information. There's right. A lot of Christians out there, they're afraid of information. Any information that they assume can counter what they believe in, then they're afraid to touch it. Well, that's not my position. My position is, right? Yeah, so my position is, well, I'm convinced that there's a creator to the universe.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that he sent his son as a propitiation for our transgressions. And so since I'm convinced, then whatever other arguments are there, I'm okay to hear them. Because if I'm wrong, then I want to know, and then I'll modify my position. I don't want to stay in the dark for fear to be wrong. That's counterproductive.
Yeah.
So if that's a wrong position, okay, fine. Then let's hear the counterarguments. And I'm not going to get emotional. I want to hear the data. I want to hear the information that I'm going to verify it to see
if
it stands. So, yeah, that's my take on that. We got about 4 minutes, but go ahead. Okay. And then that last minute, I want you to tell everyone how they can find you. Yes,
So I agree, because I have thought about it, and I said, well, there's like Gandhi, and then there's other things that come before Christ or after. But he was the most hated man for a reason. He was the most historical being of, you know, there's a lot of history with Jesus. And when you think about it, it's like, why him, right? Well, there goes your answer for once. And then for two, the Vatican hides books from us that they found from the Bible that we're not able to access to, which allows them to have just have that much more govern over everything, which will be for another day. But I agree with
part three.
Yes. And then as answering really quick on the white table, it's something where I will go into a trance. So all I remember is like getting in the white table, you had to be showered, you had to be your hair combed, and you had to be in white. And when I was in the white table, they had us put our hands facing down, and then we had to face it up. And then I would just knock out
And then I don't know what happened through there, but I do remember that she used to work with, I don't know if it's a saint or a spirit. And that saint and spirit, the only reason I know is because she did it with my brother. And my brother actually went to Guatemala and he actually experienced the whole thing talking to that spirit or saint.
Now, when you say you would knock out, how would that happen?
I just remember going like this. I just remember shutting down. I don't remember nothing else. I just
so something I something would just cause you to go unconscious?
Yes. Wow. And I don't remember the whole purpose of it, but now that I'm older, it may have been the time travel or you know, like the out-of-body experience. Mm-hmm. She did, I have no idea.
They didn't put anything in your drink?
No, I didn't drink anything. It was just
so you just lay there and then passed out?
Yeah, but the table was it was prepared. The space was prepared. Nobody could come in, it was just us.
I know in voodoo they call something like that the mounting.
That's all I remember.
Wow.
That's crazy. I do remember that in Guatemala they also have it. And that spirit revealed himself to my uncle, which was her husband, and my brother after she passed away. So my brother was able to see who this guy is who used to work with my aunt. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're getting closer to unpacking this whole thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of stories, I know.
Yeah, we might have to do one more. So for the listeners out there who were interested in your story and they might have had something similar and they want to reach out to you, and if they want to support what you're doing, how can they reach out to you and connect with you?
Well, mainly on Instagram, guys. There's nothing else besides Instagram. It will be my first and last name, which is RUTHSAENZ. My main logo on Instagram, it's 1% better every day. I do insurance, I do finance, and that's my professional career. But I mean, I always talk about God and I always talk about the spiritual world because that is part of me as well. So I put it all in one, and then that's where, and I talk about my personal struggles, like, you know, Striking Adversity, which is also my podcast as well.
What's your Instagram page address?
Ruth Science, at Ruth Science.
At Ruth Seance?
Yes.
And tell us about your podcast.
Yes, it's Strike Adversity. It's together. It's not separate. It's called Strike Adversity. Strike Adversity.
Oh, Strike Adversity. Yeah. I like that.
Yes, because I've overcome a lot of things. So some of my spiritual stuff isn't there. Some stories you guys were hearing there because that's where I was able to have an open space to let it go. Mm-hmm. Not everything is there. You'll probably have a little bit more information to Eric, but majority of my stuff is in there, I'm pretty sure.
So Strike Adversity, is it on YouTube or where is it?
It's on YouTube. I have just some podcast listeners that came in, but it's on Spotify. It's on Apple.
Okay. Got it. Strike Adversity. So there you have it, folks. So thank you for joining us again, my dear friend. We'll have to do another one. I'll let you know when so we can unpack all of this. But that's Ruth Seance, everyone. Thank you for coming to the show. And until next time.
Until next time. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. God bless you.
Bless you, Tom.
You're listening to The Rabbit Hole with Eric Ramos, only on LA Talk Radio.